All right, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Let's read it. It says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." As we look at these passages today, it's going to be an encouragement for some, and for others who are not quite there yet, it's going to be a discouragement. And I don't want it to be a discouragement, because, you know, really, the depending on what it is to you is going to depend on your maturity, is what it comes down to. And as a matter of fact, I've titled this sermon today, "On to Maturity." On to maturity. That's what we're going to talk about today, because that's what these passages talk about. This is all about growing up. You know, some of you have been Christians for years and you are still whiny crybabies. Some of you, I'm being serious, man. Some of you have claimed to love Jesus for years, and yet when something comes your way, you collapse. It's like you don't handle the pressure, or you cry about it, and you complain about it. Woe is me! Why is this happening to me? And then I'm going to tell you in the Bible, when the apostles when pressure came on them, they praised God for it. That God seen them fit to be persecuted for His glory. And so when we look at persecution that comes, guys, we have really got to look at it and understand what it means. I think we miss it, because I think that we think that if we're persecuted, that it's unfair. Well, where is God? Where is God that I'm going through these problems? Why is God allowing me to go through these problems? Where is God? I don't deserve this. And yet, as we unfold this, you're going to find out that God is in the problems just as much as He's in the glory. You're going to find out, listen, God is there through the whole process, good and bad. The question is, how are you going to receive it, and how are you going to look at it? And I want you to see today that just because you're a Christian, you are not exempt from problems. As a matter of fact, they're going to come. And boy, sometimes they come in droves, amen? And sometimes you're like, oh, when's it going to stop? And then you call somebody, and then they're, I love this response. If you're having a problem, there's one problem after another, after another, after another, and then somebody goes, oh, this too shall pass. Like, let me smack you in the head, right? How many want to say that when somebody tells you, yeah, right? I mean, let's be honest. We're like, oh, man, just because you ain't got the problem. But when you got the problem, I'm going to go, oh, this too shall pass. Like, ride it out, big boy, right? Isn't that what you want to say to them? Oh, yeah, remember this. It's coming back. And, I mean, okay, that's just me. I'm just being honest here. And so let's look at this real quick. In verse 3, he says, and not only that. What do you mean? He starts out in verse 3 and he says, and not only that. Well, let's back up for a second and be reminded before we move on to be depressed. All right, here we go. And then we'll be encouraged. I won't let you walk out of here in tears. I'll encourage you before you go. So he says, and not only that. Well, in order to find out what and not only that is, we got to go back to verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. In other words, because Christ died on the cross, God looks at us just as if we'd never sinned. That's huge, guys. What a promise that is. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we've been justified, and because of our justification, now we have peace. Verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith. So now we've been justified, we have peace with God, and because of the justification, now we have peace, and now we have peace, we have access. We can go before the throne. Oh my goodness. Guys, if you haven't been here in the last few weeks, you missed it. You can go before the very throne of God. That is the most incredible gift that we could ever receive. The fact that we, as sinners, who don't deserve what God has given us, but because Jesus died on the cross, it literally opened the gates for us to walk through and go right to the foot of the cross into the very presence of the Father in heaven. That is an amazing gift. And then he goes on, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And so positionally, we literally stand in the very presence of God. You say, how do we do that? You get on your knees. And you say, oh, Father. So you get on your knees and you say, oh, Father. And guess what? You're in the presence of the Father if you know Jesus as your Savior. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going into the presence of the Father. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't have Jesus, because he made it very clear, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And so without Jesus, you have no hope. Without Jesus, you cannot go before the Father. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then when you pray, and listen, I've had so many people come up and go, well, I pray to God all the time. And I say, well, fantastic. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior? Well, no. Well, then according to the Word of God, he doesn't hear your prayers. And you go, God doesn't hear my prayers? No, if you're not saved, if you're not a child of his, he doesn't hear your prayers. He doesn't hear but one prayer from the lost person, and that's the prayer of salvation. Then he hears all of your prayers. Prior to that, guys, you're just speaking into the wind. And I don't mean to discourage you, but I'm not going to stand up here and pretend like, oh, you pray, you're real religious. Religion sends people to hell. It's that relationship with Jesus Christ that allows you before the throne. And so when we look at 1 and 2, guys, I just want you to understand that, okay? And I know that may not set well with some of you, and I'm not trying to offend you, but man, I'm sure not going to mislead you or guide you in another direction. I'm going to give you the very truth, the very word of God, and then you got to deal with that. Amen? Somebody say amen. There you go. I just want those that don't believe me to know I got people on my side. Okay. We can put a line up here if they rush. That's okay. All right, here we go. So then he says, through verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. All that. And then verse 3, he starts out and says, and not only that, not only what I just told you. Now think about that. It's like you would think, oh my goodness, how much better does this get, right? Amen. It's like I give you a new car and I actually give you the keys to it. And maybe I'll give you a new house and I give you the perfect job that you want and I give you all this. And then you go, wow, what more is there? And you go, hey, not only that, but I got more for you. We would get pretty excited, wouldn't we? Yeah, well, that's what Paul's saying. He says, not only have I given you a new car and the keys to it, and a new house and the keys to it, an absolute perfect job with a max pay coming, by the way, you're six figures plus, and all the bonuses, man, you're set up. But not only did I give you all that, but hold on, I'm going to give you a little bit more. And we would go, oh my goodness, all of that? And then some. And that's where we're at today, is the and then some. And so what I want you to see is the and then some is bringing maturity. The added, the over and above. So not only do we have salvation and justification, and not only do we have it through faith in Jesus Christ, and now we have access to the Father. Man, we have this hope and we have this glory, and it's all going to be good. And we can stand in the very presence of the Father. Now I'm going to give you more. That should excite you. And if that doesn't excite you, your exciter's broke. That's all I got to say. You know what I'm saying? So here we go. In verse 3, I got so much here. Ooh, we might have to take next week to finish this one. And so it'll be okay. Verse 3, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold it. It's like, Pastor, you had me until tribulations. Right? Like, never mind. Okay, so he says we glory in tribulations. Why do we glory in tribulations? And then he says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Or some of your versions might have patience. Here's the interesting thing about tribulation, guys. It has an underlying meaning of being under pressure and as if squeezing the juice out of the grapes or out of fruit. Anybody go to the restaurant and get lemons for their water? Yeah, no, you guys ain't going to play. There you go. So anybody ever squeeze a lemon before or an orange, right? You want the juice? Yeah, okay. How much pressure do you put on that to get the juice out of it? A lot, right? That's the idea here of this tribulation is putting it under pressure. Now, I'm going to help you out here, and I'm going to give you something you can actually use the next time you go to the restaurant. Amen? I got some up here going, give it to me. I'm ready. Just throw the ball! I really had three shots. Okay, here we go. Espresso. I better finish that thought, huh? I got sarcasm over here going, of. In the restaurant, if you order lemon with your water, now I always get the lemon on the side because I don't want them to, who knows where that lemon's been? Who knows what has touched the skin of that lemon? Amen? I don't want it in my water. So I asked them, I said, bring it out on the side. Now, some waitresses, they're new. They don't quite understand what on the side means. And so they put it on the side of the glass, right on the rim. And I'm like, really? But that's okay. It's okay. So here's what you do. When you get a lemon, you get a wedge of lemon, you take your fork, you hold the lemon, and you run your fork through the wedge of the lemon, kind of like this. This would be the fork, like that. And you go through the wedge of the lemon. You guys understand what I'm saying? And then squeeze, and you'll get all the juice with half the pressure, and you're ready to go. How many is going to try that at lunchtime today? Amen. When you are done, you will say, wow, Pastor, that really works. And you'll see. Okay, so at any rate, that's what tribulations is like. It's like trying to squeeze all the juice out of this lemon or out of an orange and all the pressure that you put on it. And I mean, I've seen people just go, ooh, and then they move it around. And then they move it. That's what tribulation is. That's literally what it's talking about in our lives. We're going to go under pressure, guys. Look here in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. Paul says, hey, listen, we are hard pressed on every side. In other words, it's inescapable, guys. The pressure is coming and you will not be able to escape it. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Look at that. He says, listen, the pressure is there and it's there and it's pushing on you and pushing on you, but it'll never crush you. Why? Because of the Son of God. Yet not crushed, we are perplexed, but not in despair. We're like, what in the world is going on? But we got hope. We're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Look what Paul's saying. The pressure is going to come, guys. But we have victory no matter what. He says here, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Guys, that is powerful. Do you get that even though it comes, it's not going to have victory over you? Even though the pressure comes? Listen, some of you are battling cancer. It'll never get victory over you if you're a child of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? You will not lose the battle. Now, the old flesh might lose, but you won't. I'm going to tell you, you're in financial despair. As long as you weren't silly with your money, you won't stay there. God's going to bless you. And I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking, listen, God opens doors and takes care of his children. You're not in despair. You're not forsaken. Sometimes you're going to go through trials and you're going to go through struggles and you're going to cry out, God, where are you? And he's going to say, I'm right here. I'm right here. Just quit allowing this pressure to overwhelm you and look up instead of looking down. Think about me instead of about the problems. I'm here. I'll not forsake you. Listen, you're going to be persecuted, but you're not going to be forsaken. I'm here. And so, guys, no matter what you're going through, and I'm going to tell you, everybody in this room is going through something. And that's why we need to extend the grace of God to each and every person we meet. We don't need to judge them. We don't need to point fingers at them. I'm going to tell you, you have no clue what people are going through. No clue. The struggles for some just to get out of bed and to make it in the public world, just for somebody to see them that day, has been a huge victory for them just to get out of that bed. Some have physical ailments, and we don't even know about it, and they're struggling. Struggling. But I'm going to tell you, we're not forsaken. We are not forsaken. Those tribulations that come, we're not forsaken. So I want to point that out, but here's also what I want you to see. That the tribulations that Paul's talking about here is not that is common of the world. And you go, what? Literally, these tribulations that Paul is talking about in Romans are only tribulations that a Christian can go through. Only tribulations, only trials and struggles that we go through because we're a child of God. We're persecuted because of the one we love. That's what he's talking about here. I want you to see, though, that no matter what and how we look at tribulations, God does not forsake us. But contextually, I got to stay in the context of this passage. It literally means that you're going to be persecuted because you love Jesus. That's the actual context of this tribulation. 2 Timothy 3:12 will show this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's the tribulation that Paul is talking about right here in Romans 5:3. Anybody who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. And obviously, we see that happening more and more, don't we? The Christian, the struggles, and it's going to get worse. But listen, don't get discouraged because we're not forsaken. Don't get discouraged because we've not been left alone. Don't get discouraged because, man, we have hope, and we have not just a hope so, maybe so, think so, I think God's in control, but we know the hope that we have is that Jesus Christ is in control, and we have victory at the end. Now, what we go through in the process to gain the victory might look different for each and every person. And for some, it's going to be a bigger struggle than others. We've not been promised no persecution. Just because you received Jesus as your Savior, don't think that you're on easy street now and everything's a bowl of cherries, because it's not. Man, the devil's mad at you. He's mad at you. You guys that just got baptized, he's mad at you because you said out loud, I love Jesus. And so don't be shocked when persecution comes. The interesting thing in the last Beatitude, which is as long as all the others put together, it contains the promise that persecution brings blessings. So I want you to look here in Matthew 5:10 through 12. Yeah, I didn't put the last one up there. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You notice it's not just blessed are those who are persecuted, but blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Remember, I said that tribulation in this passage, in the context, literally means that you're going to be persecuted for what? For God's sake, for loving Jesus. And so this passage says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they're persecuted? No, because they love Jesus. Jesus is their Savior. It's talking about salvation here. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This isn't anything new, guys. Persecution is going to come. If Jesus is your Savior, persecution is going to come. But what do? We take a stand. No matter how hard-pressed we are, we take a stand. We look at the world and we see the things that are going on in the world, and I'm going to tell you, they don't like Christians today. And in America, being Christian is not popular anymore. Persecution is coming. It is coming. You say you love Jesus, there's going to come a day sooner than you think where you're going to have to live it. It's coming. But he says, listen, don't be afraid, because you're not forsaken. You're not crushed. You might be pressured, but you're not crushed. And that word crushed literally means destroyed, smashed, squashed, nothing left. And he says, you're not crushed. Why? Because who the Father gave me is in my hand, and I and my Father are one, which means you're doubly protected. Don't give Satan no victories, because they're not his. 2 Corinthians 4:17. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Listen, I love this verse right here, because it's our light affliction, right? Even when Jesus says, take my yoke, it's light, right? Your burdens, listen, your burdens are nothing. Listen, I'll take care of it. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to strengthen you. I will encourage you. I will prepare you. I will equip you. And here he says, our light affliction. Guys, I know that sometimes the burdens that hit our life seem to be overwhelming, but in God's eyes, they're light. It's just a light affliction. And it's but for a moment. Now, we're talking but for a moment. We look at Paul, man, his whole ministry was a struggle. For almost 40 years, Paul's ministry was a huge struggle. To the point where he even cries out and says, take this away from me. And God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. It's but for a moment. Why? Because this verse is looking at our lifespan versus our eternity span. And it's but for a moment. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, when persecution comes, it's just but for a moment, and it's light. Why? Because God says, I got it. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you, and I sure won't let it crush you. John 15:20, persecution for Christ's sake is evidence that we're living Christ-like lives. It's evidence. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. It's evidence. Persecution is evidence that you are a child of the King. Listen, I've had people say, well, the devil's never attacked me. And you know the first thing I tell them? Are you sure you're Jesus's? If the devil has never attacked you, you're not doing anything for God. If the devil has never attacked you, you've not spoken up for Jesus. If the devil has never attacked you, it might be because you are satisfying the devil's needs. That's harsh, but that's reality. Christians have no reason to despair in this present life. Look here in Romans 8:18, in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul says they're so minute compared to what we get when we get to heaven that it's not even worth mentioning. It's not even worth looking at twice. Man, the glory that we have, the what's going to be revealed to us in heaven, man, I'm going to tell you. And by the way, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm ready. Jesus, come right now. I mean, listen, I don't even have to have lunch today. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? How many's ready? Yeah, how many are tired of seeing the sin run rampant all through our country and the world? Man, that gets oppressive. It gets heavy. I mean, it gets heavy. So what do to get away from that heaviness? Man, we go to the Word of God and we drink espresso. Listen, our afflictions for Christ's sake produce ever-increasing blessings. Look here in 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Is it up there? Did I not put it up there? That's all right, I'll read it. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Did you hear that? Listen again. That no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Guys, we're appointed to afflictions and suffering if we're a believer in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't like it. Well, it doesn't matter. It's going to come. You say, well, I'm not going to be a Christian if I'm going to be afflicted. Oh, my goodness. Don't think like that. Because the heaviness and the persecution, the affliction that's going to hit you when you die is called hell. And I'd rather go through it but for a moment on earth than to live in hell for eternity. Perseverance is often translated as patience. And it carries the idea of endurance. And of course, perseverance produces character. Now, the Greek term for character is literally dikaiomai, and it simply means proof. Proof. When you look at me, my lifestyle, my actions, my words should be proof that I'm a child of God. My character is going to show and going to shine Jesus. And so what happens is these tribulations build up pressure. And pressure, do you know what happens with coal when it's put under pressure? It becomes a diamond. Incredibly valuable. Prior to that, it's just a piece of coal that we throw into a fire and let it burn. But man, under pressure and time, you have a diamond. When we talk about the metal, gold, It was put under pressure. It was put under heat. It was put, listen, this literally is a reference toward the metal, and that metal would be put under a lot of heat, a lot of pressure, so that it would be refined. Prior to the heat and the pressure, there's no refinement. It's just whatever it is. But man, you get done with the coal, it turns into a diamond. You get done with gold in a fire, and the impurities are coming off of it, man. Then you get pure gold. It's valuable, incredibly valuable. Or silver. And that's what literally that is what this is talking about on the character. It means proof, and it's a term that's often used to test precious metals, silver, gold, and to demonstrate their purity. So guys, when we go under pressure, don't allow that to deter you. That should build you and form you. Listen, nobody grows until they hit the valley. Amen. You know, it's funny. I'm getting ready to gear up and start bicycling again. It's been a while since I've rode bicycle just as enjoyment and for long, because I really like to ride long distance on bicycle. And what was it's funny is when I was riding, I went out with a friend of mine. He was a jerk sometimes, but I loved him. And so we would be riding, and I'm going to tell you, we rode recumbents, and so going on straight ground was pretty easy. Going downhill was a blast, right? And we'd always hit this hill, and he knew I hated this hill. Man, I hated this hill. I hated this hill. It was like a mile long, and it was literally, I'm not even exaggerating like that. And so I start up this hill, and I'm going, oh my goodness, like now I'm getting tested, right? Can I really ride? Am I going to make it up this hill? And so we're riding together, and I told him, I go, Robbie, I can't do this, man. I'm going to have to get off and push. I'm struggling to pedal here, and we're not even a quarter of the way up the hill. And Robbie said, it's okay, John, your secret's safe with me. Yeah, exactly. And I went, sucker, you'll never see me push this bike. Right? And all of a sudden, that pressure, man, I got to the top. When I got to the top, I wanted to die. I didn't think I could. I mean, I was looking for oxygen in every pore that I had, but I couldn't get it. But I got to the top. Robbie was way ahead of me by this point. And so it took me a little while. He slowed down, and I eventually caught up with him. And he goes, glad you made it. And I thought, I hate you. But what happened, man? You know what? That pressure, what did it do? It caused me to push forward. It refined me. So you know what? The next time I hit that hill, it was actually a little bit easier. And every time I hit that hill, I knew and I dreaded it. It was coming up. But then it got to the point where I go, this isn't a problem. But the first time, it about killed me. My lungs were burning so bad. I wanted them to get about this big, but they wouldn't get about that big. You know what I'm saying? I was dying. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about that we get tested, we get under pressure. But as you get under pressure, and the more pressure you go under, the more refined you become. And the more refined you become, the more godly you become. The more godly you become, the brighter you shine Jesus. That's what happens. And so this character, it builds in us, and it proves who we are. It shows who we are. Let's look here at 3, and we're going to read down. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. One of the greatest things in the world is hope. How many ever watched the Hunger Games? You guys watched the Hunger Games? And I don't remember which Hunger Games it was, but they went to President Snow, the guy who was orchestrating the games. And he goes to President Snow, and he's talking to him, and President Snow makes this statement. He says, the most dangerous thing in the world is hope. Is hope. Because it'll make a man do things that are extraordinary. They won't give up. They won't quit. And I think about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's not a questionable hope. It's an absolutely hope. In other words, it is that promise, that hope that we have that just fills our soul because we know it's true. It's the hope in Jesus Christ. And he says here that your tribulation is going to produce perseverance, which produces character, And that character produces your hope. And then he goes, now hope does not disappoint. Did you see that? Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because we're not talking about some random hope. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ and the promise that he gave to all men. That whosoever should call upon me. He says, I won't cast anybody out that comes to me. I'll give them life. I'll give them life everlasting. They'll become heirs and joint heirs with me. The Father will look at you and say, welcome. The hope. The hope of eternal life. Not the hope like, I hope it exists, man. Oh, I'm wishing, let's roll the dice. No, it's hope because the hope that just fills us, that encourages us, that absolutely assures us of our place in heaven. And we're going to go through some things, guys, but it's going to produce hope. And a hope that does not disappoint. Look here in 5, and I'm going to finish with this. Now, hope does not disappoint because it's not up to us. Are you seeing this? It doesn't disappoint because it's not something we conjured up. It doesn't disappoint because it's nothing that we made up or we thought of or that we put out there or that we designed. Hope is not up to us. Look here, Paul says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When you receive Christ as your Savior, there is an assurance and an understanding that you never had before. Amen? How many remember the day you got saved and all of a sudden your whole life was turned upside down? And you would go tell people about Jesus and they look at you like you're crazy. But you knew you weren't crazy. But you had to keep telling people about Jesus. Amen? I remember when I got saved, I was telling everybody about Jesus and they're looking at me like I was some kind of fruity cupcake that just fell off of a wagon somewhere. And they're going, who is this dude? This is John who used to do da 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 da. Now he's coming and telling me all about Jesus. Man, what drug did you take this morning? Because like, you know they knew what I was taking, but no, nothing like that. Because the Holy Spirit fills our heart, changes our mind, changes our thought process, and all of a sudden we know that we know. And when people go, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I think I'm saved. I'm gonna go out on a limb here, guys, and I'm not judging anybody, but I'm going to tell you the Bible says that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a new creature in Christ. Old passed away, everything becomes new. That is unmistakable. You can't sit there and go, I think I'm saved. I remember praying a prayer, but nothing really changed. If nothing changed, then you didn't pray the prayer, or you might have prayed the prayer, but they were just words. They didn't, nothing here. Not you didn't you had it up here, but you didn't translate it to here. For with the heart man believes on the righteousness, not the mind, with the heart, who he is at his very core, at his very being. And then when we have that, listen, when we believe on Jesus and we receive Jesus, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint. Some people say, I tried Christianity. That's your problem. You tried Christianity and when you needed Jesus. Well, I tried church. I tried the church thing. That's your problem. You tried church. You needed Jesus. Well, I tried the Bible. Well, that's your problem. You need Jesus. Until you get Jesus, you don't understand the Bible. The things of the Spirit, right? Are what to man, to the common man? Foolishness. You can't try the Bible. You can't try. You're trying everything in reverse. You try Jesus, and then everything else comes together. That's that hope. Why? Because, man, when we have that hope, when we have Jesus, then all of a sudden, your heart is filled by God via the Holy Spirit. And you won't question yourself. You won't question Jesus, and you won't question the Word of God. You say, hey, I've never heard that before, but man, if that's what God says, then that's what it is because God said it. It has nothing to do whether I believe it or not. We don't ever argue the word of God if you're saved, if you're born again. Born again is a term used by Jesus in John chapter 3. Because I know for whatever reason in the Northeast, when you say born again, that's like incredibly offensive. I still don't understand that, but it's not for me to understand. But I have a hope that does not disappoint because the Holy Spirit has filled me. So my question for you is, do you have that hope? Has the Holy Spirit filled you? If you don't have that hope, the Holy Spirit hasn't filled you. If the Holy Spirit hasn't filled you, you're not saved. If you're not a new creature, if you don't think differently after you ask Jesus to be your Savior, then you're not a new creature. What you did was in your mind, you were emotionally moved or intellectually moved, and you went, hey, well, that kind of makes sense. Well, just to be on the safe side, I better pray the prayer. That didn't get you there, buddy. Just saying. Had to be here. For with the heart. You say, well, how do I know the difference between the mind and the heart? How many have ever had a puppy? Not like mine, but a real puppy. How many have ever had an animal or some person in your life that you loved so deeply that in your heart, man, it was just like every time you got around him, you're like, right? You guys been there? Somebody raise their hand. Everybody raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. That's what I mean by in your heart. This overwhelming sense of, oh my goodness, that's true. I get it. I can't deny it. Jesus, I believe you. Not up here where, whew, that might be a good thing to do. If he's talking about I'm going to hell, nobody wants to go to hell. And it may be real and it may not be real, but I'm not going to take any chances and I'm going to pray the prayer. That's not what I'm talking about. It's in here. That inescapable feeling of I got to do something about this. If you're here today, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you don't have that hope that I'm talking about, forget the fact that you're going to have persecution as a believer. That's mild compared to what you're going to go through without Jesus. So if you're here today and you say, wow, you know, in my heart, I understand the difference. I have this inescapable feeling that I need Jesus. If you do and you don't understand, let me help you. That is God pressing on you to say, you need me. You need my son. And without my son, you're not going to come to heaven. And I want you in heaven with me. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. And understand the prayer, the words don't save you. It is the heart condition. It is the belief in the heart. For with the heart, man believes. It is in your heart. The words just kind of walk you through as a roadmap so that you can say, this day I remember receiving Christ as my Savior. This day I remember pouring my heart out to Jesus. This day I remember surrendering. And if it's your desire to surrender to Jesus today so that you don't go to hell, that you do go to heaven, that you have that hope that does not disappoint, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done things that have not always been right. I have messed up in one way or another. I can call them mistakes, but the truth is they're sin. I recognize I need a Savior. I don't understand all of it, but I do believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe that Jesus conquered death and hell, and I believe that Jesus rose from the grave and is at the right hand of the Father today. Today, Jesus, I give you my all. I surrender. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that was your heart's desire, you prayed that prayer, would you raise your hand so I can rejoice with you? Today, I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Amen. Anyone else? Today, amen. Anybody else? Today, I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you so thankful. So thankful for what you've done, Lord, what you're doing, how much you love us. Lord, so thankful for Jesus. Lord, so thankful that even though we go under pressure and we're persecuted, and whatever that looks like, Lord, that we give you the honor and the glory because, Lord, we know that you have not forsaken us. Lord, we know that you love us. Lord, we know that whatever comes our way will not crush us. It will not have the victory over us. For, Lord, we are yours. And, Lord, as you did with Job, you put your hand upon him. And, Lord, as we go through these persecutions, as we go through these trials, as we go through these fires, Lord, that we would just come out on the other side stronger, praising you. And, Lord, that people would see our walk, they would see Jesus in everything that we do. Lord, I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.